cleanse my heart. Make me whole. Create in me a pure heart, O God. Renew in me your spirit, O God. Wash away.
There are 24 national memorials 79 national monuments that stand as reminders across this country of those who have served and those who have given their lives for our freedom. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have been to one of these national memorials? Seen them? Yes. It's kind of an awe-inspiring moment, isn't it? When you stand there and you see perhaps names listed of those that have served. I know even downtown Indianapolis, there are names of individuals that are not much more than a name, and yet there is a reverence when you come to the understanding that someone has dedicated and given their lives for your freedom. Makes a difference. I think that's one of the things that touches me about Jesus, is the fact that he came and served and gave his life so that I could have freedom. That's why we're in this house this morning. He stood the test. Some memorials send mixed signals. Not too long ago, we were down visiting our son in Dallas, and he took us by the book depository in Dallas, which is now a national memorial, to remember the death of John F. Kennedy. It's kind of a mixed feeling there, because the memories that come back to those of us that were around and cognizant during that time, we remember that day quite vividly when the president was shot. You come to a memorial like that and you think, how should one feel? It's not a place where you feel excitement or that you grab a hold of, and yet it's a place that deserves honoring. Is it to remember, or is it to keep us from doing something like that again? Perhaps it's both. The building of memorials in our lives are very similar to this. Sometimes we're reckoning with a spiritual happening that took place that by all counts we should forget. Maybe it was a time in our life where we slipped away from the Lord. And then through his great grace and mercy, made our way back into his presence. And we want to establish in some way, whether it be in a journal or in some way, we want to establish a note of remembrance, something that stands as a memorial to us that says, I don't want to walk that path again. So my point is that memorials have all different kinds of emotions and all different sorts of functions in our life. I want to just give you three this morning that we would pull from the book of Joshua. A familiar passage, he starts off at verse number 14 of the 24th chapter in Joshua and says, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw the gods of your forefathers Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you're living. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, far be it from us to forsake the Lord, to serve other gods. It was the Lord our God himself who brought us and our fathers out of Egypt from that land of slavery and performed those great signs before our eyes. He protected us on our entire journey and among all the nations through which we traveled. And the Lord drove out before us all the nations, including the Amorites who lived in the land. We too will serve the Lord because he is our God. You see, memorials are reminiscent. It recalls what has been done. The people said, "We remember that our fathers were brought up out of Egypt by God. We remember that He performed great signs and miracles, wonders before our eyes. We remember, and we will serve the Lord our God." Let me ask you something this morning. How many of you remember the day that you gave your heart to Christ? Do you? Was it a good day? Are you glad you accepted Him as Savior? In Joshua chapter 4, when they were crossing the river, under Joshua's leadership, he told each of the men, he said, for each of the tribes of Israel, he said, "Choose a man and have him go and grab a stone and walk through that path that the Lord has made for you." The waters, by the way, were at flood stage during this time, but God stopped the waters upstream and the ground was dry. And they went walking across this mass of people, most believe numbering at least 2 million. And he said, "One person from each tribe, grab a stone and take it with you. And when you get to the other side, make a pile of those stones." Because he said, you need to remember what the Lord has done for you. I think sometimes, folks, we need to go back and grab some of these Old Testament principles and bring them forward into our lives. You say, "Well, you know, I live under the new covenant." Absolutely, but the Old Testament is still ours. For us to learn about God and for us to learn about the people of God. Very important for us. He said, "In the future, when your children ask you, 'What do these stones mean?' tell them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord." So see, it wasn't even a memorial established for them. It was a memorial for their children when they passed that way again. Now see, think with me for a minute though. They were going to scatter all throughout Israel. And this was by Jericho in the southernmost part of the land that they would possess. Chances are those, many of them, would never pass that way again unless there was a deliberate journey. But you can kind of think with me of the trip when they were going to worship the Lord for one of the feasts. The father would say, "Come on, let's take a little detour." Kids say, "Well, where are we going? Where are we going?" "Well, let's just go a little out of our way as we make our way to Jerusalem this time." And he leads them down a dusty road and comes to this pile of stones. One of the kids go, "Hey, Dad, what's this for?" He says, "This is what I wanted to bring you to show you. Our ancestors piled these stones up here when they walked across that river on dry ground." You know, I stand before you here this morning as a memorial. Kind of a chubby one. A memorial, not of my own life as much as the results of my grandmother and grandfather and my mother and father who served the Lord. And I'm here today because of the path that they burnt. I've listened to some of your stories. How many of you realize this morning that you are a walking memorial to a grandparent or parents that served the Lord. Yeah. A legacy. You see, memorials are reminiscent. Jesus gave to us the Lord's Supper. Do this in remembrance of me, a memorial portion, so that we would remember the sacrifice that he made for our lives. Listen, church, don't be afraid to set up memorials that you and your children, your grandchildren. You say, well, you know, I don't know how to do that exactly. My family's so portable. What about taking a Bible? I know some people don't write in their Bibles. I do. I believe that they're for use. How about taking one of your Bibles, kind of has some dates in it. You write in there, this happened in my life on this occasion. I can't tell you how many times that I've asked family members when someone has passed and I'll say, you know, what was their favorite scripture? Oh, I don't know. What was their favorite song? Oh, yeah, I really don't know. Were there any great happenings that occurred in their life? Well, you know, I know that they were a believer, but I really don't know. Then on the other hand, what is incredibly neat is when I ask that question, they go, oh yeah, we got a hold of Dad's Bible, and written there in the on the white pages that had no writing on them, he wrote that he was saved and gave us the date, and he wrote in there when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He wrote down the first time that he led somebody to Jesus. He led in there when he was healed. Oh my goodness. Then you see, then all of a sudden, when I'm standing there in their funeral service, and I'm not just reading an obituary, because then I can mark some memorials for kids, for grandkids, to be able to stop by a pile of stones and say, look what happened to Dad, look what happened to Grandpa on that date. See, church, it's still relevant today. We're just letting way too many miracles and way too many grand experiences in the Lord just be things of the past and never remembering them. And I guarantee you that you will have a day where you need to reminisce about the things of the Lord. So even before your family opens up, there may be a day or two where you're struggling a bit spiritually, where darkness has covered over in your life, where some kind of struggle has come along the way, and it wouldn't hurt a bit for you to stop by a pile of stones and remember that the Lord rolled back the waters so that you could walk through on dry ground. You with me? Because you see, memorials are not just reminiscent, they are reminders. They call to us and remind us an event, situations. You know, even a name could be a memorial. God's name, for one. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 15, God said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. God was jealous for his name. He said, you shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who misuses his name. In other words, he was jealous of it because he had established it as a memorial before the people. Who's your God? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. I feel that way about the name of Jesus. Why? Because there have been too many times that I have prayed in the name of Jesus and I've seen heaven and earth move. There have been times when I was struggling personally, inwardly I was struggling, and began to call upon the name of Jesus and felt that the pressures of life lift off of me. and the warmth of the love of Jesus come flowing in. His name is a remembrance, one that still has an effect upon my life. There's an eternal nature to memorials. In verse 22, or chapter 22, verse 4, of the book of Revelation, it says, "The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him. They will see His face, and His name will be on their foreheads." How incredible is that? People worry about the mark of the beast. Oh, I don't know. I don't want to be careful there. They'll get the mark of the beast. I'm not worried about the mark of the beast. I want His name on my forehead. I want to be a memorial for all of eternity in heaven that I belong to Him. I don't know. You may not be interested in that, but it interests me. Do you realize that our bodies serve as a memorial remembrance of what the Lord has done? Listen to this. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. We are walking about as living memorials unto the Lord. You know, people talk of our freedom and the things that we can do. And yes, I can do this and I'm free and I'm under grace and all of that. Absolutely, we are. But our lives, our bodies are walking, living, breathing memorials of what God has done. And He says, therefore, honor God with your body. Makes a difference. I believe we as Christians should be building some memorials. We should realize that this thing is speaking. It can speak of indulgences. It can speak of foolishness. Hello? Quiet in here now. But it's true. It can speak of discipline or the lack of discipline. It sends a message. Oh, God, that our bodies would be a living remembrance of what You've done in our lives. Anybody? Can all the people say amen? I know you're afraid to. You're afraid that the Lord will hear you. Sometimes, even losses need to be remembered with memorials so that we don't cross that way again. Lloyd Ogilvie, who was the chaplain of the Senate, wrote, "Senator Max Cleland, who lost both of his legs and his right hand in Vietnam, came to the senator's Bible study withdrawn and tired. Another senator said, 'Max, are you all right?' 'Not really,' he said. 'I've been having the same dream for 30 years. I accidentally drop that grenade, and I leap on it, and it explodes and blows my legs off.' That night, the study group gathered around Max and prayed that the Lord would heal that memory. 2 days later, the History Channel broadcast his story. And a man from Annapolis saw it and phoned Max. 'Senator, you have the story all wrong. That wasn't your grenade. It was a young recruit behind you who had opened the pins on his grenades before jumping out of the helicopter. One of them pulled out of the belt and rolled on the ground, and you leaped on it to save us all. I wrapped you up myself and got you to the hospital. I was on the helicopter. I know how it happened. Max came to the next Bible study saying a gigantic load had been lifted off his shoulders. The study group had been studying Romans 8:28, which says God works all things together for good. So now when Senator Cleland is hurrying around in his wheelchair, he'll call out to the Senate chaplain, "Remember, things don't work out. God works things out." You see, he was a memorial in his mind to failure, when all along he was a memorial to a hero. Sometimes, folks, we feel like that our failures are the end of the story. And God would like to give you the rest of the story. Oh, you know, this is what I've done. 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 But if you'll get before him and you'll allow him, let me tell you something. He can give you the best ending to that story. He can so transform your life, so change your life, so minister to the hurts and the pains that brought you to the bottom. He has a way of changing the story from one of hopelessness and helplessness to being a memorial of one of God's heroes of faith. I think about some that are listed in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And they start off looking like losers. But God. One called Japheth. You know him as Gideon. Hiding in a wine vat, threshing grain. And along comes the Lord. It says to him, "You mighty man of valor." And he goes, "Who in the world are you talking to? I am not only a loser, but my tribe is a bunch of losers. My family are all losers." You see, God takes the weak things of this world to confound the mighty. You may have given up on your life and say, "It's no memorial. It's not something that I would want to remember or that I would be proud of." Oh, let me tell you this morning, give God a chance at that life. Give him a chance with your future. He can make a whole new ending if you give him an opportunity. And your life can be a memorial for all those that will follow you. For all those that maybe walk the same path of pain and struggle that you have walked. He's ready whenever you're ready. Finally, I would need to tell you this morning that memorials speak of requirements. They will often speak of lessons learned. In Joshua 24:14, it says, Now fear the Lord and serve him with faithfulness. Throw away the gods of your forefathers that your forefathers worshipped beyond this river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Verse 19, you're not able to serve the Lord. He's a holy God. He's a jealous God. He will not forgive your rebellion and your sins. If you forsake the Lord and serve foreign gods, he will turn and bring disaster on you and make an end of you after he has been good to you. We need to understand, folks, that there are responsibilities that go along with faith. There are requirements. Repentance means that I turn away from the sin to a new life, a new hope in the Lord. God wants to give you a new day. You've got to be willing to do it his way. In other words, he's not going to come down and accommodate how you want to walk out faith. but rather you have the privilege of coming up to the walk of faith that he has ordained for you and for me. He said, but oh, I can't. No, you can't. But you can through him. It's a moment by moment, day by day, sometimes second by second walk where we are calling upon him and asking for the strength. But I encourage you, set up memorials, set up some monuments in your life that say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. On the day that you are able to say no to sin, on the day that you can turn away from something that drug you down before, then set up a memorial and say, this day, I don't know about tomorrow, I don't know about the next day, but today, I saw victory in the Lord. You know, sometimes that's the way victory in Jesus is. It's not just a song that we sing, oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, and think that because we have knelt our knee and given our heart to Christ, that from there on, it will never be a struggle. Sorry, as long as you're still in this life, there's still going to be things that are going to be pulling on you. But what he promised us was that he would give to us his Holy Spirit, that would guide us into truth, that would bring power into our lives. He has given us his word that we can saturate our minds and our hearts so that we wouldn't sin against him. There's relief. There's freedom. There's power. It's all in him. The Vietnam Memorial serves as a reminder, but it also speaks of certain requirements. Some of it says, this shouldn't happen again. Hello? Don't send young men and women into battle and then not equip them. It does. I'm not trying to be political when I say that. That's a general statement that is known by most everybody. There are lessons to be learned along the way through the pain. Build some memorials so that you, when you go through them, you come through them. And on the other side of them, you remember so you don't go back and do it again. Memorials speak of requirements. I want to conclude this morning. The ultimate memorial that you and I can establish is a surrendered life. It's reminiscent of what God has done. It's a constant reminder that you're not your own, and it is a call to the requirements of your commitment. A surrendered life. One that you take out into this world of hurt and pain, and people notice a difference. Be ready always, the scripture says, to give reason of the hope that is within you. Something happened to you. You're different than you used to be. What's going on in your life? I thought you were a mess. You don't look like a mess anymore. What's happening? Oh, I gave my life to Jesus. I surrendered my life to him. Oh yeah, what's that like? Day by day. Day by day. Walking in relationship with him. Praying, reading his word. Living the life that he places before me. It's a memorial. It's a memorial for me to remember of what God has done, a constant memorial that I would not go back there again. You see, too many are turning back to what God delivered them from. And I believe it's because we're not establishing a pile of stones. Now you understand I'm speaking figuratively, although you might want to be literal. Huh? You may want to have some literal fixture in your life. You're not worshiping the memorial. You're remembering. You're reminiscing. You're letting it call you back to the requirements of living a life of freedom. Write down these things in your Bible. When revelation is given to you, don't just let it pass through, but write it down. You know, I've been telling you this now for some time. Write it down. Don't let go of it. Build a memorial over it. God spoke to me here. How many of you have ever had the Lord speak something to your heart? Reveal something to you. Come on, you should be very pleased that He has done that. Do you remember what He said? Or was it just a one-time thing? You remember when it happened and it's kind of passed on by? Let me encourage you as your pastor. Build some memorials. We have several to honor those that served and died for our country. But spiritually, may they serve as an impetus to us, to force us forward, to move us forward, to begin to build some spiritual memorials in our lives. And then as a parent, take your kids by those memorials, your grandchildren. Say, hey, this is where I met with God. Perhaps this morning, you're still in the struggle. This would be a great day for you to surrender your life to the Lord. This would be a great day for you to leave Him with the past and take a step into the future.